everything back to context. And how many remember what that context was? Very basic. Two ways to hear from and follow God. It's simple. There's no trick question. Number one, is through His Word. How many know that He primarily speaks through His Word? That's why it's so important. I was so blessed by, there's a number of these newer couples in here. One of them, Chris and Anna Pauly, there's a bunch of them are in kids' deals tonight, Christmas programs and whatnot. But he came up Sunday morning. He said, for the first time in my life, he said, I'm memorizing Scripture. And he said, I can't believe the difference it's making. And he had Scripture scratched all down through his book. The entrance of His Word, are you here tonight? Gives light. Isn't that awesome? And man, they're just stoked. He said that we've never, the reality of what the Word is. So the number one way is the Word of God. And then, of course, number two is we are sheep. We hear His voice. We hear from the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is always going to start with you and is always going to speak to you primarily through His Word. So we're going to pick up there where we left off, and I'm not going to, I don't want to go back over too much. There is something that I left last week that I wanted to follow through with a little bit more, and you'll know what I'm talking about here in just a second. But just so that we are understanding, I gave 9 points to establish context about how to hear from God. Learning to hear from God is a process of growth in the Word. We understand that. We talked about surrender. And then I'm looking for my two. Here it is. Yeah, the two ways to receive from God. So then context, primarily through His Word. And then as we grow in the Word and in faith and love, we will hear progressively more and more as we mature the voice and direction of the Holy Spirit. How many ever have had the Holy Spirit speak to you where it was almost audible? Go ahead and raise your hand. This is where it raises up. Where it was. How many have actually heard it audibly? In your mind, anyway. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Sally, give one instance of what you're talking about, just briefly. I mean, you got many, I know, but just. Can everybody hear her?
So I was praying about that, and I asked the Lord, I said, will you watch my children and get so somebody would take care of my babies for me? And he said, no, I gave them to you. You take care of them. And the next day I called and said, I'm sorry, I can't go with you.
Hey, diverted, and there's a lesson underlined. That's awesome. Sherry, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you've been gallivanting around, but I love it. I love it when you.
I find a lot in everyday circumstances. Just when conversations come up, it's very loud and clear. It could be totally opposite from what someone is saying, or it's just truth. It just comes forth alive. And it's more of a knowing, maybe, but I know that He speaks to my conscience, so it's like my voice. I hear my voice, but it's really Him ministering in my heart, and all the time.
A lot of times it will be your voice, but there'll be a thought that will come out of nowhere. And so often it may not, it's, you know, the more you grow in the Lord, it may or may not be attached to Scripture, but so often, especially in the beginning, out of nowhere, you're in a trouble, and you'll hear your voice, but something greater. And it comes out of nowhere, and this is Scripture that comes flying up into your mind, and the confusion that you're in just stops. It's incredible. But anyway, I don't mean to add what you were saying, but that's so awesome. Yeah, sure.
Well, the first time that I ever realized it was the Holy Spirit woke me up out of a sound sleep about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I thought it was my dad calling me. And I called, my folks were visiting in Tennessee at the time, and I called back there and woke them all up, you know. Is Dad okay? Yeah, he's fine. And but I, when I get woke up like that in the middle of the night, I always end up praying, kind of generically praying. I don't usually, once in a blue moon I'll know who for, but usually not. But it's generally a request for prayer.
Well, I remember the time that the Lord, you know, the Spirit told me that I wasn't 25 when I got saved. That was a head knowledge. I was 47. And it was, whether it was a voice, I mean, you hear the voice, but you don't know whether it's coming from inside or, but it was just so real that I was arguing with him and said, no, I remember when the Holy Spirit worked in my life. Remember that? And he says, yeah. And I made a donkey talk, too. And so I quit arguing with him. I realized, okay, I was 47.
But he was telling you what? I wasn't clear. When he was letting you know when you got born again. I think that's pretty interesting. It was important for him to know when you got saved. For you to know. For you to know. Yeah. How about you, Michael? Do you know I had that?
I'm blessed.
I'm so hard because I had that exact same thing. We were like, Lord, you got it.
Well, for me, I don't think it's a specific instance, but I think that I feel that I hear the Lord the most when the voice that I'm hearing goes against everything that the world is telling me. You're not good enough. You're weak. You're a bad provider. You're a bad husband or father. And the moment I hear something in my heart saying that He sees me as worthy, or I feel loved, or like true, that like pure love that you can't get anywhere else, even from your spouse, and you just feel that like deep in your soul, and I feel like that's when I know it's the Lord.
Get her talking, right? Who was it? Who else here? Raise their hand. You did?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to talk.
In year 2000, working in Alabama, I was in a very stressful position working for bosses that were doing very unethical things, and I knew they were unethical. And of course, I was a Christian, but could not sleep. Went out to the couch and said, Lord, you got to do something because I can't deal with this. And he said, I want you to quit. Said, I can't. I make a lot of money. I don't want to quit. And he said, I want you to stop serving Satan and serve me. And a baby. And got up the next morning and told my wife, I said, God told me last night I'm supposed to quit. She said, you sure it was from God? I said, it was from God. And she said, okay, let's go quit. And we went and quit. Never missed a meal since.
Never
so.
Missed a meal. That's awesome.
So I just want to say that about back in 93 after I got saved, I was having an issue with an ex-family member, and I was very involved with Bible study at the time, and I was, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing, and I was praying like all the time for my family and my ex-husband and my little family back then at the time, and so this ex-family member was just really upset with me and being very ugly to me and saying a lot of mean things and hateful things. And God seriously spoke to me and said, you know what? You are a child of God. Stand up for me and be bold. And that's what I did. And she never spoke to me like that again.
That's all right. That'll work. That's a little bit of that love that we're talking about on Sunday morning. You know, it looks a little differently. Mm-hmm. But if we trust Him, He can give us boldness. What is the Help me.
Is it Proverbs 27 or 6?
Proverbs, it's either 26 or 27. You can tell how worried I am about it. Proverbs?
Oh, he's got it.
26 or 27?
Hold this.
Proverbs 20. It says, just look it in your concordance. I would have bet money. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Righteous are bold. 28:1. I was off by one. Well, hey, come on. Give me a break here. Off by one. You're done. Isn't that an awesome scripture? Proverbs 28:1. I'll bet none of us will forget it now. 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold.
Holy Spirit got a hold of my ear. It was Resurrection Sunday, this past one, and the family and I were going back to our house to grab some food to head over to Grandma's house, and I was going inside the house to get some things and bring them out to the car, but just before then, my oldest son, Stephen, was telling us he had a really bad earache in the back of the heart. He was in some pretty good pain, and he's a pretty tough guy. And I just left that car and went into the house, and before I could even get that key in the door, I heard him, I would think it almost audibly, but in my head at least, pray for him. And about face, I went back to the van and laid my hand on his ear, prayed for him, of course, in Jesus' name. And I asked him, any better? And he was a little bit, but he was still in pain. Tried again, kept saying it was a little bit better. And then by about the fourth time of me praying and asking for him, he was like, Dad, it's totally gone. And just seeing the face that he made was just, awesome faith, coming through him. And so I went, did my things in the house, came out. We drove to Grandma's house, which is about 20 minutes away. And he took a little nap after that. When he went in the house, he had to tell everyone, Dad prayed for me, and it's all gone. And I didn't even think he thought that deep about it, but he's like, just a peace I've never felt before came over me. And I just, slept and felt great. So that was really cool.
And that word gave you the confidence. All right. Let's do it again. Let's hammer it again. I got a word from heaven. This is going to work. I love that. That flies in the face of it.
I was a new Christian, and I was smoking, and I heard him say, "Do you care?" And I answered him. I said, "Of course I care. What do you mean?" And he said, "It's killing you." But that's the whole conversation right there. Then he took it away. He took it away.
Think of the love.
Yeah.
This wasn't a
right. And he took it
away.
basis of where you're at.
Right. Yeah. And it was like days later, I realized I wasn't smoking. I mean, I didn't have any desire. I didn't even think about it. And so he took it away.
Isn't that beautiful? Incredible.
I had a work situation kind of like Terry's, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, Lord, help. I can't handle this stress anymore and all that was going on, and I got fired. And I went, ouch, Lord, I didn't want it to happen that way.
Now, did he speak to you, or you just got fired?
I got fired.
Well, was it better after that?
Yeah.
I love the example that. Before I do that, let me.
The Lord has spoken to me a couple different ways. One time was when I was new here, going to school, just pretty freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit at the school. And our friend Katie, my wife, was with her at the hospital. She was having an exam, and she texts me and says,
if you don't know who Greg is, Greg is the one who plays your part in the world. And his wife,
upper 30s. Yes.
And so that's who he's talking about. This is actually the
Lord. Right.
And then they just recently got to the hospital. This is what happened when I hear stuff.
Right. My wife texts me and says, Katie has cancer, so I called her and we talked about it. She said, yeah, Katie has cancer. She has a 3-centimeter mass in her colon, which, if you don't know, is a fairly good-sized mass. And I started to freak out a little bit, but then I heard, pray with unwavering faith. Pray with unwavering faith. And all I said to Dina was, did you pray for her? And she did, and they did, and... Yes. It's been a while.
She was telling you, she could read the mouth, but I'm wrong. She told me she was working. I thought something along the line, but I don't do this, but this is the one who was. She was new to this.
Yeah. She was.
She said,
yes, that's what I said. After I heard this voice, it was initial contact with her. I was gonna go, you know. But instead, I hear the voice that says, "Pray with unwavering faith." I said, "You just pray for her. Pray for her." And we talked later, some more, and the story was, well, after we prayed, we talked about, her kids will have to go back to her ex-husband and stuff. I said, what? And I said, you don't go back to the negative after you've done something positive like that, you know? And we talked some more. We went back and talked with Katie, and she prayed some more. And as it turns out, they ended up operating on Katie the following day, took out the mass, and the doctor says, well, we saw some, lymph nodes in your body that make me worry about this certain syndrome. He says, I've seen it hundreds of times. I know what I'm looking at, He said, but they tested her for those, and she had to wait a week for those tests, and we prayed more. And as her test results started coming back, they were all negative. And she is totally 100% cured now.
Yes. How did
Yes, yes. The syndrome.
It really spoke to you.
Yes, it did. Katie's on fire. From that time on, she knows what it is to have a miracle in her life, and she is a miracle. She has had a miracle. And another way that the Lord has spoken to me, and this has happened to me, I don't know, a dozen times, is when something's weighing heavy on my mind and speak to people throughout the day about certain things. Maybe I'm not even speaking to them about the problem that I'm having, but I'll hear two or more people throughout the day say the same thing. It might even be someone on the radio. And they'll say the same thing, the answer to the problem. And I'll pick up on it. It's like, I've heard that earlier today. A couple times now. And so that must be the answer. And if I listen to it, it usually is.
With the word. Absolutely. Did you have your... Yeah. Aren't these neat little testimonies?
We were youth pastors in Norwalk, California, and I was praying. There was a lot of things going on with the youth. There was the gangs, a lot of the gangs and stuff. And I was really praying and just crying out to God, God, why are things happening like this? It looks like nothing's working. What am I doing? Did I do the right thing? And all of a sudden, no lie, it was like a wind came over me. And I was thinking of poor me, what I was going through, and they weren't receiving. And it's just like a wind, and it's the words were so evident, loud and beautiful, they spit on me. And I thought, that hit me, because what I was crying about was, poor me, woe is me. And he just said, they spit on me. And that hit me like a brick. And I thought, and you're sitting here whining like a baby.
Little gentle reminder, right? How many are glad for the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. So many times, I've heard that voice of God. Sherry was saying, I could hear my own voice, but it came, like I said, it came from out of nowhere. Yeah. Of course. Absolutely. That's right. When he asks, he never fails. Yes, Diane. Sure, go ahead. Dan, we just heard you share. Yes, you did. I'm a witness to the fact that when I grabbed her arm and tried to lift it, I thought she was going to slide. That's wonderful. Those are some awesome testimonies. But I started to say, and I don't remember what it was now. Come back to me later. No, the first testimony. Yeah, the first. It doesn't matter. I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit and the way He speaks to us. Can you say amen? You know, I've heard, that's what I was going to say. Just as Sherry, when Sherry was talking, you know, often he will work with us on our level. And what we understand, he'll begin to speak to us. Or listen, the biggest thing is you got to be careful that anything you think you hear from God, it better lift and turn the lights on. And I tell people that with all boldness, because I've had people argue, yeah, but I know it was God. I mean, it struck me with fear, and I went out, it did this and this and this and this and this happened. And I'm sitting there talking to a person whose life is absolutely a wreck, and they're arguing with me why they believe God spoke to them. And yet they're telling me that that thing brought fear. When God speaks, it does not bring fear. It turns the lights on, not off. And He will never, this is part of the 9 points that we gave, He will never speak contrary to His written word. If you have a question, you can take it to the Word of God. And if there's a question in reference to the written God, they need to back up and say, well, maybe, Lord, I know I'm learning. I know I'm growing. I thought I heard You. But apparently, teach me. And just move on. Don't dwell on it. Move on. Know that you, as His child, as His sheep, He's given us the ability to hear His voice. How many have ever missed it? Thought you heard from God and missed it. And then you look back and you go, oh, I understand now. I had some motives in there that I wasn't seeing clearly at the time because I felt like this had to happen and I needed it to happen. And so I made God speak to me. But now that I look in retro, and now that I'm looking back, I realize that wasn't God. That was me talking to me. And so I realize there's a growth in here. But that's why it's so important that we get the Word of God in us. That's why Chris blessed me so much. He had scriptures lined clear down one page and part of the way down the other. And he said, I'm memorizing these. And he said, it's unbelievable. He said, the joy and the strength. He said, I've never done this in my whole life. Sat in church. Isn't that awesome? And he said, I'm memorizing scripture. Let me tell you something. The Word of God makes all the difference. Aren't you glad for the Word? So how do we follow God? Well, one of the things that we talked about, and I want to go back to touch. We're about out of time, and that's fine. This was rich. We can always come back to here. You remember last week we were talking about an example that Brother Womack gives out of his book, and this, of course, is Lesson 5 or Chapter 5 in your book, about how do I follow God. And in here, he's talking about people who have received Jesus as Savior, but they haven't truly recognized Him as Lord. Now, Brother Womack, who I love dearly, and I endorse this book fully, wouldn't be up here if I didn't endorse it fully and encourage you to buy it and read it. Brother Womack sometimes, though, can be pretty cut and dried and black and white. It's amazing how that he can almost verge on with a legalistic tone for one of the greatest grace preachers that I know. There's a statement here that I brought out. Some of you weren't here. In the book, he says some very good, rich things, but I just want to make sure, if you're reading the book, those that weren't here, that you hear this clearly. He says, a solid Christian philosophy, that is a worldview or your outlook or the way you look at things in reference or tied to your walk with the Lord, requires believing the Word of God as our supreme authority and making Jesus the Lord of our lives, not merely in the sense of recognizing his authority and attributes, but by submitting to his leadership. And then he gives the example out of Mark chapter 10, where he says a rich man, and you might want to go ahead and turn there very briefly, Mark chapter 10, I know we covered this last week, but I don't know how far, I know we did go through it, but I want us to just look at it again. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22 is where you'll read the account. It says, a rich man once kneeled down before Jesus and asked, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus replied, none is good except God alone. In other words, Jesus was either saying, and this is Brother Womack's words, either call me God and make me Lord or quit calling me good! Exclamation mark. I understand what he's saying, and there is a truth there. And it's something that I want us to see, and I want to bring it out. But that harshness, I want to pull that harshness out of that, because when you look at the actual, how many are in Mark right now? Now, I'm not picking on Brother Womack, and I love him, and I love this book, and I think you ought to have the book in your library. It will help you. It's a tremendous, tremendous, powerful book. But I want you to look at the actual account. And I'll tell you what, the message of grace has made a total transformation in my outlook on who my Father is. This morning we were reading in the men's group. I don't want to change gears right now. But where Jesus is reminding that the love that he has for us came from the love that the Father had for us. This is in 16 before he goes into his prayer in John 17. Powerful truths. We're looking at that together in the men's group this morning. And man, it was awesome. The feedback and what was going on in there. How many know he loves us more than we could comprehend? The more we get a hold of that, the more it empowers us to not only love, but to move with confidence and faith. This is what I was trying to bring out on Sunday morning. Peter stepped out of that boat. He said, Lord, if that's you, the only one of the disciples said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And he, like a child, I love people like that, just clambered right out of the side of that boat and started walking on water. And we were talking about this morning, I was challenging our guys to see it, that we all have seen these Sunday school pictures and stuff, you know, beautiful artwork of this. But he was at a distance in the mist. They thought he was a ghost. Scripture says that he walked far enough, apparently, that when Peter began to sink, Jesus reached out immediately and lifted him. That means that in all probability, he walked a long stinking ways on water before the sea troubled him and he began to sink. Next thing that we don't think about is after Jesus lifted him, they got back to the boat or to shore somehow. He was lifted. Remember the old song? Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Boy, those are good. Was way back to my childhood. Love, incarnate, stood on the waters and immediately in his weakness lifted him. And I don't for a minute believe that the Lord is ever harsh with us about us progressively understanding and a graver revelation of his lordship in our lives. That's part of renewing our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, because of this great grace, let me show you something. Mercy has made it possible for you now to voluntarily offer your body up as a living sacrifice. Mercy has made that possible for you to offer your body up as a living sacrifice. And here's how it works. Don't let your life be shaped by the world system anymore, but rather let your life be shaped, transformed, by the renewing of your mind in reference to the will of God. Where do we find the will of God? Right here. Isn't that amazing? The power of the love of God. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 10, and when verse 17, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, I want to remind you of something here. And just bear with me. Just don't think about this. Jesus had not died yet. He had not conquered death, hell, and the grave as we understand it yet. He had not been resurrected, so the new birth was not possible. Not yet. So it's amazing how this thing of grace, if we're going to be thoroughly honest with the message of grace and what it means, we have to understand when the old stopped and when the new started, and it will clear up a lot of confusion. So this young man was coming to him, obviously a young, wealthy, connected Jewish man, a businessman who had great wealth. Scripture calls him a young, rich ruler. He comes to Jesus and he says, I mean, he's obviously heard enough. He's interested. He said, how can I have? And of course, the Jews had an understanding. You read the Old Testament, they spoke of eternal life, but they didn't have the understanding that you and I do. So, but he's being stirred. Notice that Jesus did this a lot. Today we were reading in the men's group again, John 16, where Jesus says, up until now, I've spoken these things to you in Proverbs. In other words, in riddles, in mysteries. But now I'm speaking to you plainly. All of this is possible because of the love of the Father, and the Father in me, and I in him, and he is the one that's causing these. And the response of the disciples is, lo, you have spoken very plainly to us. It's comical. When you go back, when you take the religious glasses off and just look at what is being said. Now, here we have a young guy that comes to Jesus, and he says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Is it possible that he heard about Nicodemus? We don't know where this stuff comes from. I have ideas. I've studied this stuff at length. You know, there, John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and says, how? And Jesus responds, you've got to be born of and of. Yeah. So, and he begins to explain to him what the born-again experience. Of course, Nicodemus expresses his confusion. What do you mean? I go back into my mother's womb, and Jesus straightens him out. So the subject of eternal life, Jesus is preaching. This, everything has changed. Okay? Everything has changed. And so he's, right now, he's directing. I mean, think of Matthew. Is it Matthew 6, where he ends the chapter saying, you're talking about frustrating if you were under the old Jewish system, not knowing that this man in just a very short few months would die, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. But he was challenging them and frustrating them. He said, he went through and he said, he talks about how the law isn't what you thought. It's not in what you do, but it was all about the intent of the heart. He straightens them out, and then at the end of the chapter he says, be perfect as God is perfect. Well, if you don't know what's coming, this is a riddle and a proverb. You don't understand that there is no perfection without him. And at that time, that wasn't even possible. All you could do was believe that he was the Messiah. He sent disciples out in his name. But remember that there was no possibility to be born again. The new covenant had not yet been ratified. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. So here is a Jewish rabbi speaking to a young Jewish professional who has approached him and called him, and I think this is something that we need to see. He called Jesus, and this is where Brother Womack taps into a real vein of truth here. He called Jesus rabbi, good master, teacher. So Jesus comes right back He's asking him, how do I obtain eternal life? Jesus comes right back and says, you know the commandments. He points him back to the law. He quotes part of the law. And then he answered and said unto him, this is the young rich ruler, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, look at that next line. I love that. If you're looking for it, it's all through the scripture. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. There was no judgment here. There was no harshness. He understood this guy had not seen him yet for who he is. Who he was progressively being more and more open. I mean, he started out that way with a bang, Luke 4:18, opening up Isaiah and reading out of Isaiah saying, this is me and this is what I came for. But eventually they killed him. Why? Because he called himself God. He's in that process right now. This is the Son of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, preaching and bending everything in a new direction. This man approaches him as teacher. And Jesus challenges him on the basis of this man's understanding according to the law. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. And the young man was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter. Now, again, he's speaking in riddles. Why? Because we have a young man who has not seen him for who he is yet. Then he makes this shocking statement immediately after. Jesus looked round about and says to the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter in to the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches, for them that trust, there's your key to the whole thing, for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And then he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice something. He didn't say that a rich man can't go to heaven. But he did say a rich man ain't going to take his junk with him to heaven. There is an actual eye of the needle, and many of you have heard this, in the walls of the city. And for them to go into the city, they had to unload the camel. And then the camel could go through without its stuff, haul the stuff inside the wall, and then be loaded back up on the other side. These were very real pictures that Jesus was drawing for the disciples. So in here nowhere, I mean, He's promised to bless us, honor us in every way. Scripture over and over and over again speaks of wealth and riches, an abundant supply for those that trust him. But here he's talking about somebody who trusts in their riches. Now the big kicker here is, and I don't have time, I can't believe how time has flown, but we've had fun. How about you? The thing that's so amazing here, though, is that Jesus responds. He doesn't react, but he responds. Every conversation that's recorded has everything to do with him turning up the volume on who he is. This man said, teacher, rabbi. That's like just Jew to Jew. Hey, you're a wise man. I've heard the stuff you've said. Tell me how I must obtain. That's a completely different thing. Look at, if you would, look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I know I didn't get near as far as I wanted to, but that's all right. Next week, right, Mike? John, look at John chapter 10. Now remember, I don't mean to get too off and take us so far out here in a rabbit trail that we forget what our main subject is. We're talking about recognizing him not only as Savior, but as Lord. The more we grow in him, the more we trust and recognize his lordship. more we allow him to be Lord in our life, the more victory we see. But in no way is it a harsh demand. He leads his own. This here, you know, Brother Womack goes on to talk about how that he compares this man to people who get saved and haven't recognized. This man didn't have any hope of salvation yet. It could be that this conversation was brought back to his remembrance. We don't know. He might have been among the 3,000. We don't know what happened. The Lord loved him and spoke into his life and challenged what was really going on in his heart. We don't know that's the end of the story. Scripture says he looked on and loved him. But I'll show you something else Jesus didn't do. He didn't compromise the truth. When the guy turned around and walked away and said, wait a minute, let me see if I can soften this and come up with a deal. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Jesus laid the truth out plain. He loved him, but he didn't change the rules. Okay. Now, here's the thing. He approached him on the basis of teacher. Mark chapter 10, you see, and I think I tapped on this just a little bit. Excuse me, John. John chapter 10, thank you. John chapter 10, look at verse, let's see here. Let's start with, did I go to the right? I think I'm still in the wrong book, people. Oh, yeah, it's Mark. It's Mark. I said John twice because I've got another scripture. It's Mark. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, listen to what's going on here. Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried all the more, a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, see, we here in this day and age, in a Western society, we have no idea what that meant within the context of the Jews at that time. For this man had a revelation, blind as he was physically, his heart had seen that he is the Son of God, the Anointed One, Messiah. You are Him. He was literally crying out, I recognize you as the Anointed One of Israel sent from God. I know we talked on this last week, and we're repeating more than I had planned, but I don't want this to go over your head. This man approached Jesus on the basis of who he was declaring that he was. That's pretty awesome stuff. Jesus, he said, he cried out a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise. And he calleth thee. And listen, in that day and age, if you studied out, you'll find out these poor people, they generally had two garments and that was it. That's all they had. I want you to notice, he casting away his garment, rose. Look at the obedience. Look at love speaking and a blind man responding to this love authority that is born of love, that's speaking in him. Can you see that? I mean, that's incredible. Speaking to him, and this guy, there's not a moment he hears God say, come. I mean, he throws off his coat. There's absolute obedience. There's absolute in this whole thing. You are Lord. I recognize you for who you are. Completely different response or a completely different dialogue than with the young rich ruler. I love that. I love that. Cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive." Lord, Lord. The Jews knew you're not supposed to call any man Lord, any man God. This was blasphemy. And yet somehow we see this happening throughout his ministry, people hearing what he's preaching, and suddenly there is this revelation bursting forth, and you hear again and again and again. I don't have time. I was going to go through them. We'll do it again next week. They'll have a number of people who heard the message, and what came out of them was, "Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What were they saying? You are the anointed one, the Messiah, sent from God. I believe that and embrace that. And Jesus' response to him was not just to anybody. Notice Jesus didn't respond like this to the young rich ruler in the previous dialogue. His response to that was, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Lord, do you see how important it is for us to recognize his lordship? Who he is, the anointed one of Israel. This great love of the Father sent in the form of man. These people's response to this, here is what he says to us tonight. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? But see, if you've never come to that, and it's so easy in churchdom for us to go in and hear good messages and how we cope with this and how we cope with this and how they use the word in our finances and how they use the word in our body and how they, and all these things are valid and good. But we kind of lose track of the main thing. I'm very glad tonight that Jesus is Lord. I may not understand and have grasped it in every area of my life, but my desire is to see more and more and more progressively as I grow. I see an area in my life where I haven't allowed you to be Lord there. And I'm so glad that he's not jerking me around and being harsh and saying, as I heard a preacher say years ago, either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. I'm so glad he doesn't do that. He reaches down to us, lifts us in our weakness. He does like he did with Peter, immediately lifts us and helps us and strengthens us. And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in his way. Ooh, I told you, Abby, look at that. I'm working on it. I got to stop right there. Even though we repeated a lot of our conversation from last week, how many got something fresh and new out of this tonight? I really felt like I needed to just slow down, back up, and go back through this. He's the anointed one. Next week, I want to show you, as I said last week, I want to move from that point forward and just show you a few other examples of those who recognized him as Lord, Son of David, and show you where the phrase Son of David came from and why that was important. Most of us don't grab that, but it's a literal acknowledgement and declaration about the genealogy of Jesus Christ through the seed of David. And what that meant. It is literally saying, you're him. And I embrace that totally. Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. That's something. How many know that his lordship in our life is absolutely. We're going to look at that a little bit more. And I'll quit right there. Father, thank you so much that you are Lord. Would you just lift your hands with me tonight and confess that one more time together, that you are Lord. Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, tonight, by faith, I see you as Lord in every area of my life. Lord, there are areas tonight where, as I've grown, I've recognized I gave everything that I knew to give. Now I've grown and I'm seeing from a higher plane, and now I see your gentle Holy Spirit who's leading me and guiding me into truth, saying, if you'll trust me here, you can trust me here and you can trust me more. Recognize I'm Him, the Anointed One. And that anointing now rests in you. We always think of it out there somewhere. He lives in us. Can we trust His? He's in there. The kingdom is in us. He's in there already. This is just a matter of cooperating. So Lord, tonight we thank You. You are absolutely not just my Savior, but my Lord in every area. As we recognize You, the Anointed One, now living on the inside of us, Father, I thank You. Higher planes, deeper depths of truth in You, and for healing and joy that springs forth. You are revealed, oh man, to us for who You are. The Anointed One of Israel. How we love You tonight. How we're thankful that Your love for us has cast out every fear. We trust You tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.